What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Lead 360 podcast. I am your host, Anthony Waite, and it's so good to be back with you for another episode. And pardon my, break in recording. I'm just getting over having bronchitis, laryngitis, and some other stuff going on. So just finally getting over that. I lost my voice and I was just really just congested and it just didn't feel good. And not only that, but I am knee deep in being a father, being a leader, putting into practice what we preach on this podcast. And so it's good to be back. And today what I wanted to do is make this a short episode. I wanted to answer a couple of questions that I've been getting. And thank you for those who have been submitting your questions. And if you would like to submit your questions, you can comment. If you're watching on YouTube, you can send me a message on social media, Instagram at Anthony Waite Official, or you can find me on Facebook, wherever the case may be. But nevertheless, one thing that I do when I speak to audiences is I'll ask questions. And two questions I ask are this. Number one, if we were sitting down having a cup of coffee, what is one question that you would want to ask me, knowing what you know now? So after my talk, I share some stuff with them, some thoughts, and I open it up and allow them to write this down on a sticky note. And what this does is it gives it a private feeling. And, a lot of people don't want to raise their hand and ask questions because they don't want to look foolish. They don't want to look stupid. And the truth is there's no such thing as a stupid question. And the dumbest question that could be asked is not asking one. And I did that for a long time because I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want people to look at me differently for, a question that I had, a burning desire inside that I wanted to know. And so the first question is, if we were having a cup of coffee, which I am right now at the time of this recording, because it's, 4:30 in the morning, what would you want to ask me, knowing what you know now? The second question is, what is the biggest obstacle that you believe is standing in your way from becoming successful personally or professionally? And that question is very unique because how it's framed. What do you believe? Not what I believe or what society believes or what your parents believe, but what do you believe is the biggest obstacle? And what I found is that if you're leading people, those are two great questions to ask because you're opening the door to a conversation that's deeper than, how are you doing today? Or what's the weather like? Or whatever dumb shit people ask. And if you're leading people, you want to get to their heart and the minds of those you lead. Because if you don't understand their biggest problem, if you just assume what questions they might have, then how are you going to lead people? There's a good book written by John Maxwell, who's one of my mentors. And it's everybody communicates, few connect. And the other one is good leaders or great leaders ask good questions. And I think that today we have a lot of people, instead of asking questions and really being interested in those that they lead and those they love, they're just waiting to respond. And I want you to think about this. Instead of being so quick to give information or your thoughts, how about taking a break and pausing and hearing people share their thoughts? Because when you ask questions, people are going to give you the answer. And when you ask questions like the ones that I ask after I talk, people give me what they need. And so there's no guessing game. There's no trying to assume what people might want or where they're struggling or what's going on. And I often get messages like, man, Anthony, that last podcast, that last video, that last talk really felt like you were speaking to me. And the truth is I was, because you've given me opportunities to ask questions. So nevertheless, I wanted to answer this question today. And this person had asked this question: what steps do I need to take to become the best version of myself and to get into your position? Now, as many of you know, and many of you may have just saw me or heard my voice, I'm not a full-time content creator. I'm not some guru online. I'm not, I am a podcaster. I do this out of as a passion project, and I do coach people and I do get paid to speak. And while I do those things, my real job, my primary job is an active duty naval officer. Like, Everything that I tell you on this podcast, every thought that I share is coming from real life situations. It's not coming from a book. It's not coming from, you know, some made up thoughts or, you know, whatever. It's real life in real time action leading with today's issues that we have. And this question that this person asked me, they are in the military, and, you know, I mentor thousands of people all over the world, and there's a lot of active duty that are looking to do what I did. And so how my career progressed was I came in as an E1. Like, I didn't come in with a degree. I had a 1.8 GPA in high school. I was basically homeless when I joined the military, and I just took opportunities and moved forward over the last 20 years. And so what I often tell people is you see the glory, but you don't understand the story. It wasn't an overnight success. It's been 20 years in the process, and it's been 20 years of leading people. But most importantly, it's been 20 years of trying to lead myself. You are the hardest person you're ever going to lead. And until you're able to lead yourself, you have no business trying to lead other people. And for me, that was a progression. Is I was leading, but it was by a title or a position or a degree or an achievement. And I thought that if I got more of this, then I could be more of that. And then I got married and had a family. And I realized that I was bigger on the outside than I was on the inside, and that I had to grow in my character and stop worrying about the credentials. And now what has happened is it's a different style of leadership, because it's not telling people what to do. It's showing them how to do it through my daily actions. And so I share that because there's a lot of people today, unfortunately, that don't practice what they preach. They will put on this highlight reel or this, you know, front to make you believe that they are something that they really are not. And it's very disappointing, because when you have influence in the lives of other people, the worst thing you can do is to try to bullshit people by putting on a front and being less than on the inside, right? Being bigger on the outside than you are on the inside. And so when this question is asked, what steps do I need to become the best version of me and to be in your position? What they're meaning is, how do I go from where you were, and how do you climb the ranks to get to where you are now? And frankly, where I'm going, I'm just getting started. and you might see this as, how do I become the best version of me? And so I want to give you, I'd say, 4 tips. Again, I don't have any notes here. This is me talking. If I was talking to you in an audience and we were having a conversation, because while there isn't just 4 steps or 3 steps or 5 steps or 20 steps, or, you know, give you the roadmap, this is a continual process. And so number one, what I want you to understand is that in order to become the best version of yourself, you have to commit to growth. And what do I mean? I have so many people that are in leadership positions that stop growing. They got the degree 10 years ago, and that's when they stopped learning. That's when they stopped reading. That's when they stopped growing. And when I say commit to growth, it's not just about reading more books. It's not about getting more degrees or more titles. It's about self-awareness and understanding yourself, understanding the flaws and the influences that you have in your life and how they're affecting not only you, but those you lead. And it's this continual process of self-awareness that says, who am I and who do I need to become? And when you do this, you're taking inventory. You're going back and learning those lessons from life's test over the years. And every day you have to at least learn something about yourself. And one way that I do this is by reflecting and looking at how I'm showing up as a father, as a husband, as a leader, as a leader in the community, as a leader in the military, and then asking myself, you know, did I show up as my best self? Where did I lose myself, this self-control? Where did I lose my emotional regulation? Where did I lack in my faith? Where did I lack in my fitness? Where did I lack in my mindset? Where did I let fear take hold and dictate how I show up? Where did I lack confidence? When I went into that meeting, did I speak with authority? Did I listen, or was I quick to speak? And so all these questions that we ask ourselves, right? These allow us to take inventory, because the worst thing you can do is think that you've arrived. The worst thing you can do is think that you have it all figured out and that you're good. Leaders like that today are the biggest problem in organizations. They're the biggest problems in their family. And also they become irrelevant very quickly, because the challenges that we've had yesterday are going to be different than the challenges that we have today. And the way that we led 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago is not going to be the same that the way we lead today, because there's so many things happening, so many changes. And if you don't become aware and adapt your leadership to those people and those that you lead and the roles that you have in life, you will find yourself irrelevant, because nobody's going to be able to connect. You're not going to be able to connect with people. And you're going to be that person that says, man, things have changed. It's not the same. Well, no shit, because things are changing every single day. And so if you can't change people, then you're forced to change yourself. And as a leader, your job is not to change people. Like, you're not supposed to change your spouse. You're not trying to change your kids. You're not trying to change anybody else. What you're doing is this constant change of growing yourself. And you can't have growth without change. You can change without growth, but you cannot grow without change. And so, number one, commit to the process of growth and continual learning. Always be learning. And you have to be learning about yourself, and you have to be learning about those around you. And also, what's happening? What is going on with the people that you lead, and also the people that you love? And if you can't find an answer, help them find a resource. That is the biggest thing. You don't have to have all the answers, but you do have to have an idea of, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to get you the resources that you need. Don't try to be a know-it-all. And so committing to growth is a number one way to become the best version of yourself. Number two, you have to let go of fear. If I had to be honest with you, I let fear drive my actions for far too long. I was afraid of looking like a fool. I was afraid of not being good enough. I was afraid that my past would predict my future. And I was ashamed of kind of the adversity that I faced at a young age and kind of throughout my life. And I never wanted to share that with people. And I was afraid of what people might think. I was afraid of criticism and judgment. And it wasn't until I realized that it's not about me, that fear is not real. And fear is your ego and your pride keeping you in a box and making you play small. And if you're going to become the best version of yourself and you're going to reach your potential, you have to let go of fear and understand that fear is part of the process. And the biggest thing that we fear is failure. And I'll tell you, I've felt like a failure many times, but does that mean that I'm a failure? No, I'm still in the game. Failure isn't final until you quit. So my question for you is, what fears are you allowing to prevent you from moving forward? The fear of loss. You know, one of the biggest things too is I wanted to be accepted by everybody and I wanted to be validated. And I realized that this fear of loss is something that's unnecessary. Like, you're going to lose people along the way. In order to go up, you have to give up. That's the law of sacrifice. And so my question for you is, what do you need to give up? What are you afraid of letting go of? Because once you let go, you make room for more. You can't receive with closed fists or full hands. You have to let go of something in order to receive something. And many of you are carrying around baggage in your life that does not serve you. And in order to move up, you have to let go of that fear. Because in the grand scheme of things, you know, you look at everything in life, nothing really, it belongs to us. We don't own anything. We're just here for a short amount of time on borrowed time. And when you let go of things, people, beliefs, habits, you realize that, man, I've waited too long and carried this around, this burden, this baggage for too long, and it's been weighing me down. And so the way I look at this is, what are the engines in my life? What are the things, the people, the habits, the behaviors, the beliefs that help me go to where I want to go, that help me see bigger than my current circumstance or my current reality? And then what are the anchors? What are the things that are dragging me down? What are the things that are pulling me back? No matter how far or how motivated I get, I just can't seem to get going. What are those anchors? Who are those anchors? What people are anchors? And you'll find that some of those people are your own family. Some of those people are going to be your good friends. And that's okay, but just understand that some people don't want you to change. They don't want you to grow. And it's not because they hate you, it's because they just lack in their own self-awareness. And that's okay, because as you grow and as you become more, then you're able to help more people. You attract more people in your life that you know, have a growth mindset, that are like-minded, that help you get to that next level. But if you continue to try to people please, if you continue to try to look for validation, you continue to seek this pat on the back or this, you know, this accolade from somebody, don't be surprised when you find yourself disappointed because you don't get it. Never seek external solutions for an internal problem. And the biggest problem that I see with most people today is that they want to please people. They want people to love them. They want people to respect them. They want people to, you know, be their friend. Here's what you got to do. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to have compassion for yourself. You have to learn to respect yourself. And you have to become your biggest cheerleader. And when you do that, you find that people follow suit. You train people how to treat you based on how you treat you. And so you have to start taking inventory and looking at these engines and anchors and start be willing to give up in order to go up. The third thing I would tell you in order to become your best self, you know, you let go of fear. You have to continue, commit to growth. And then the third one is you have to feed your faith. I was asked this question a couple of days ago as I spoke to a high school soccer team. And one of the kids said, man, with all the things that you go through and all the things that you've done, how has faith been a part of this? And if I had to be honest, you know, for a long time, I would tell people, man, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And I think there's some validity into that. But over the last year, I've been able to grow in my faith by surrounding myself with faith-based people, mostly faith-based men who are a little bit further ahead in life than me that are able to help me see how God shows up in your life. Now, whatever it is that you believe in, I want you to understand this, that today's society, today's our country today, the world today lacks in this piece right here, this faith. And what I found is that there's things that I in my life that have happened that I cannot explain, that on paper, it doesn't make sense. And if you look at the trajectory and all these things that I've been able to be, do, and have, I can't tell you how or why, right? When I was, you know, sleeping on a friend's couch and I joined the military, there was no part of me that said, tomorrow I'm going to get up and go join the military. It was divine intervention. And it took me so long to go back and realize that, man, my faith has been drowned by this fear. You see, you can't entertain both. And so the last point of, you know, getting rid of fear, like overcoming these fears, if you're living in fear, you cannot live in faith. It's one or the other. They're polar opposites. And most people entertain their fear. But whatever seed you water, it will grow. And most people, like if you're like me, you water that seed of fear. And so you walked around playing small, playing less than, never taking opportunities, never having confidence in yourself, always looking for validation and people pleasing. But whenever you let go of that fear and grab hold of faith, you start leading from a different perspective. You start learning to love other people like unconditionally because you learn to love yourself unconditionally. You start to believe in something bigger than yourself. And I can't tell you how many people today, the only thing they believe in is themselves. And whenever they fall, whenever they feel like a failure, there's nobody there to pick them up. They don't reach out to anything or anybody and they just fall and they can't get back up. But when you're surrounded by faith and you're growing in your faith, that allows you to forge a future that's bigger than your current problems, that's bigger than your current circumstances, bigger than your current situation. Your faith allows you to say, you know what? I may have failed today. I may have fallen short, but that's not the future. That is not what's final. And a good resource that I use, and I'll tell you, is the Maxwell Leadership Bible. If you're watching this on video, it's this right here, but it breaks things down in a way that you can digest. It breaks down scripture in a way that you can learn to apply it to your leadership life. And I don't care where you're at right now, whether you make $50 or you make $50 million, leadership is leadership is leadership. I teach the same principles to elementary level leaders, like elementary schools, than I do to executive leaders. The only thing that's different is the stories and the examples. And this faith piece, if you're leading people and you lack in your faith, I would have you consider that you are not leading from your true potential. Because if people are going to have faith in you as a leader, then what do you have faith in as a leader? What do you believe in that's bigger than yourself? Or do you think you're the end all be all? Are you like those leaders we talked about earlier who are irrelevant and they're leaning on the achievements of yesterday or 5 or 10 or 20 years ago? And so faith is what pulls us into a future that's bigger than our current circumstance. And if we are to believe in people, then we have to believe in ourselves. And if we believe in ourselves, then we have to believe in something more. And I guarantee you, if you take time to just take inventory of your life and just look at where you are right now, good or bad, I would have you consider that there are things that have happened in your life that are signs that, that kind of as a guide to tell you, hey, go this way. Hey, take a right here. Hey, stop doing that. Hey, pick up this habit and go this way. And when you understand that, then you realize that you were never alone. Like you were never meant to walk on this journey alone, and you weren't. And there's a story that's been written for your life. And then when you get in alignment with your assignment, then there's no longer this, I need to find myself. You were never lost. And people always ask, well, how do you find your purpose? Purpose, you don't find purpose. To find something means that you lost it. There's purpose inside of you. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. If, you know, and I'll share a quick story and then we'll go to the next step. But for me, for example, for a long time, I was ashamed of my past. Now, you know, growing up without a father, you know, my dad's, you know, addicted, you know, drug addict, and we have a broken relationship. But I got an opportunity to speak to an elementary school, and it was for career day. And they were like, hey, tell us about how you were able to join the military, get into the medical field, get your education, you know, go work with the president, all these things. And a little girl in the back of the class said, well, why'd you join the Navy? And in that moment, I didn't have a script. I didn't plan to tell them about my childhood or why I joined the Navy. But when I did, what happened was it resonated with a lot of the kids in the class. And little did I know that that adversity was going to be my biggest advantage. That led to me creating leadership and development programs for young, troubled young men. Why? Because I was a troubled young man. And a lot of these kids grew up in a home without a father. So did I. And I started realizing that every time that I went to speak to these kids, every time that I went to teach a lesson, when I was creating the content, it was just, it fulfilled me, it filled my heart so much. And it fulfilled me from the inside out because it was God working with and through me, taking what was meant for evil and turning it to good. It was taking that adversity and using it as an advantage to help other people. And the same thing goes for you. No matter where you are right now, your burdens are your blessings and your adversity is your advantage. And there's people waiting for you to show up. But for a long time, I let shame, because I was driven by fear. I let shame and guilt and anger and frustration drive me. And that kept me from connecting with other people. It kept me from sharing my message. It made me the best kept secret. And every time somebody would talk to me, I would talk about all the medals and all the ranks and all the deployments and all the good things that I've done. But I never really shared the process to get there. You see, nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care. And we do this through our stories. And when I started sharing that struggle and that adversity, when I realized that there was more people waiting for me to show up, there was more people like me who were waiting to hear somebody like me who was able to get through it, to get to it, right? You have to go through it to get to it. And sometimes God takes us through it to get us to it, doesn't he? But if you lack in your faith, you will always play small because you're driven by fear. You will always let this shame and this guilt and this anger and this frustration drive you. And guess where it's going to take you? Nowhere good. And so that pillar of faith, you have to understand that that has to be part of the game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because there's going to be times where you, as a leader, you come up short. There's going to be times as a parent, as a spouse, as a leader in the community, wherever it is that you're doing, whatever roles that you play in life, there's going to be times where you fall short and you feel like a failure or you miss the mark. Your faith is what picks you up and keeps you moving forward. And so the last step that I'll tell you when it comes to becoming the best version of yourself, you have to get grounded in your vision, your values, and your virtues. Now, what does this mean? You have to have a clear vision of where you're going. Stephen Covey talks about this in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He says, you got to begin with the end in mind. What is the vision that you have for your life? What is the vision that you have for the roles that you fulfill in life? And without a clear vision, how do you know where you're going? And so you have to have a vision for what it is that you want to be, do, and have in every role of your life. So when I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a leader, I'm a naval officer. And for everything that I have going on in my life, there's a clear-cut vision of what that end result looks like. And that's the North Star to keep me grounded on which direction that I'm going. And when you do this, now you have to understand that there has to be core values in place that keeps you on this path to get to that destination. This is where a lot of people fall short, because they'll have a goal. They'll say, I want to, you know, make $1 million. I want to do this. I want to have. But my question is, who do you need to become? And that's the values piece. Who am I? What are my core values? So that when I don't feel like going to the gym, so when I don't feel like being, you know, loving or compassionate, when I don't feel like leading, when I don't feel motivated, these core values are what keeps you in line. And so you get clear on your core values once you have a vision. And the values say, what are my priorities, right? Every day you make decisions based on these core values, and that gives you prioritization of your time, energy, and effort. And if I was to ask you today, what are your core values? Are you able to give me at least 3 to 5 core values that you believe? Now, the third thing, virtues. It's one thing to have core values, but it's another thing to live them out every single day. If you have to tell people who you are and what you stand for, then you're not doing enough. And one kind of game I play with people is I'll ask them, I'll say, now that you know a little bit about myself, now that we've had this conversation, I want you to guess what my core value, give me one core value that you believe that I carry that as a core value. And then we'll get it right almost every time. Why? Because of how I show up, how I carry myself, and how I treat other people. And what's interesting is when you look at people, you can tell what they value. When you follow somebody around for 24 hours, if I was to have this camera, put it on you for 24 hours, would I be able to understand what it is that you value? You see, most people live their life valuing the opinions of others, valuing the what other people say instead of what they truly believe. And what happens when you do this, because trust me, I know I've done this, you find yourself in a bad place because you feel lost. You don't know yourself. You're disconnected from other people. And so once you have a vision and you have your core values, then you have to set your virtues. These are the habits and behaviors that you do every single day that you put on display to show those core values. Like if I said, you know what, one of my core values is family, but yet I'm staying in the office till 8 p.m. I'm in here, you know, recording and worrying about social media instead of coaching my kids' baseball team or to go into practice or to the games, then I'm kind of not being honest, am I? And that's why, you know, you see me here at this time of this recording, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning now and everybody's still sleeping. And because I value people, I value leadership, I make time for this. I don't have to do this. Like, this doesn't pay my bills. But you see, when you say that you value something like leadership, then here's the method of delivery of leadership for me. And then when I get done here, I'll go get my kids ready for school. I'll get my uniform on and I'll go lead thousands of people at work. And so you have to understand that your virtues are the habits and behaviors and beliefs that are on display, that display your core values. And today I'll go to the gym and I'll go work out. I'll go for a run. Why? Because I value health. And tonight we have baseball practice. I'll take my kids to the practice and spend time with them because I value my kids. And as a father, as that role in my life, one of my core values is my family. And this morning, my faith, I got my leadership Bible here, you know, and I value faith. And so all these things that you, once you have an idea of what it is that you value, what do you want to stand for? Then you have to understand, what are the virtues that I need to live out every single day that put my values on display so that I don't have to tell people what I value. They can look and talk to me and have a conversation or watch how I operate. And they can say, man, that person values family. That person values people. That person values relationships. Without a doubt, no questions asked. And that, when you live your life like that, every single day you build, become the best version of yourself. Because a lot of people will believe that I need to have more in order to be more. I need to have more money that I could be more successful. I need to have a bigger house and then I'll be respected. I need to drive a better looking car so people will love me. And here's the thing. You don't need to have any more than what you have right now. Everything you need, you have. And it sounds cliche, but I want you to understand this. I fell into that trap of needing to have more in order to be more. And what I realized that if I am committed to becoming more, then I can have anything that I want. And what I did was I focused on those four areas. I committed myself to continual growth. I got the degrees. I got the titles. I got the positions. I got the paycheck. And every day I am committed to growth because I know that the best is yet to come. That leads into that faith piece. The best days are ahead of me, not behind me. And I am growing in my faith every single day because in order for me to lead bigger, I got to believe bigger. And in order to believe bigger, I got to have bigger faith, because without faith, you're going to fall into that trap of fear. And I've lived most of my life living in fear, and I don't want to do that no more. And then whenever you look, take inventory of your life, every season of your life, you have to start at, inventory in your life and saying, where are the engines and where are the anchors? What do I need to give up in order to go up? And every level, there's something that you're going to have to give up so that you can go up. And so don't be afraid of that. Let go of that fear. And every day I analyze my life and say, where did I let fear take hold? And oftentimes fear comes in the form of anger. When you get angry or frustrated at something, it's because you're afraid, and it's okay. And especially men out there, right? If you're an angry person, it's because you're living with a lot of fear left in your life. And that's what I found, is that a lot of my anger and frustration came from the fear. And when you start analyzing this and you become self-aware, then you continually grow. So it's all intertwined. And so my hope for you is that you take at least one of these pillars and start working on them today. And as always, if you have questions or you want to reach out, comment below, or you can send me a message through one of the social media channels. Thank you for tuning in today. Hope you found value in this message. And if you did, share it with somebody you lead or somebody you love. And I'll talk to you next time.